All right. As I've been studying, I had a little different experience. Usually I don't really know what I'm going to preach on before the week comes up, but in the last month or so, I've really been struck by, I guess, my children, the children that we have here in church, and just the lives that I guess are at stake in one way or another. And then I heard a song, and I'm going to have Jeremy play it later on then when I finish up, that really stuck out to me. And the verse that, or the scripture that I've chosen to read this morning, my main scripture, is Joshua 4. And this is right after Joshua has taken over the children of Israel as they're crossing the Jordan. And we all know the story how it wasn't just crossing the Jordan, which is, you know, anywhere from 50 foot wide or whatever, but it was in flood season, and so it wasn't just a simple undertaking to get, you know, a million people across this this river. They didn't have any bridges back then, no ferries to take them across. They had to cross this river. And so we're going to pick up in chapter 4, and it's after after the waters have already parted and waters have stood still. Chapter 4, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, and it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark and the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place, and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over as crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And as I thought about these stones that they put up, these monuments, as you will, my mind went back to the movie series we watched when I was probably 16 or 17, and Wesley probably remembers it, the Ray Vanderland, something like that. It's That the World May Know, and how the people would set up stones, these big stones that as reminders of things that that had happened. And I thought about, you know, monuments that are around. What is a monument for? You know, what is a monument? And my mind went to, you know, our country has monuments. And what do they stand for? You know, the Washington Monument reminds us of George Washington. The Lincoln Memorial is Abraham Lincoln. And maybe the most famous one for America is the Statue of Liberty. And it's, you know, it stands over New York Harbor as the immigrants would come into America. And, you know, I thought, what are we doing for our children? You know, that makes them, what reminds them, what makes them, you know, ask questions about, what's that for, Daddy? What does that mean? In verse 21, it says, "Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones?" You know, these stones that they placed, these 12 stones that they piled up, and I don't know how big it was, you know, if you had 12 stones and they had to carry them on their shoulders, it could have been stones this big, and, you know, it could have stood this high, just a pile of stones laying in the, there beside the Jordan there at Gilgal, where they had lodged at, where they slept at. But you know, what am I doing that, you know, causes my children to ask questions? Why do we do that? I had to think of, you know, maybe baptisms or, communion, you know, the feet washing is something that's, you know, maybe a little odd that we do. But yet, the reason we do it is in remembrance of God. It's a reminder. Also, a marker or a monument is something that reminds somebody of something happened here, something significant. You know, something happened here, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I mean, you drive down the road and you see lots of crosses beside the road, and it's like, well, that's, cross is a good thing, but most of the time it means somebody died there. And yet those people that put that there, it doesn't really mean much to me. It doesn't mean much to you as you drive along, you see it. But for the person who lost a loved one in that spot, when they drive by it, they think of their loved one. And verse 22, it says, this shall you let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. When their children ask them, what are those stones for? They can say, this is where the Lord parted the waters for us so we could cross over on dry land. Exodus 13, 5 through 10, talks about the Passover. And it talks about, you know, when the children ask about it, we'll read here. So then it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be a sign, it shall be as a sign to you on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. Has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. They were to do these things, and, you know, it's, you know, 7 days eat unleavened bread. And when they did this, you know, it would obviously cause questions among their children. And this was an example. This was a chance to remind their their children. This is what God did for us. This is where God worked in our lives. You know, I think of lots of things that that happened, and I think I had to think of when we played softball. We would play softball every Saturday almost. And I don't know whose idea it was, if it was Marlon's or Daryl's or Sticks. I'm grateful they did it, but they decided when we played that we weren't going to play on Sunday. And, you know, there was a lot of us that were 15, 16, 17 years old when we started playing, and it wasn't in our minds that we needed to take a stand on that. But yet we did take a stand on that, and because of that, it was a witness to those that we played with. You know, we didn't think about it, that we were making this great statement, but we were probably doing it more for us than we were doing it for them. But yet, I know that stood out to lots of people. So you think about things like that, you know, placing work or placing sports or placing other things like that in front of church, in front of God. You know, those are maybe not this great big pile of stones that you're saying, hey, I'm going to go to work instead of going to church, but yet our children can see that, you know what, something is more important than church to Daddy, because Daddy wants to go to work rather than go to church. So obviously church is not that important. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, I'm sorry, yeah, 1 through 9 says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 7, it says, teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It doesn't say you shall teach them to your children when they go to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We're to teach our children every day, all day. Look for opportunities to speak into our children's lives. You know, we should always be looking for ways to point out to our children. And it happened to me this week. Bodie played soccer last Saturday, and it was really hot. It was about 11 o'clock, so it was really hot, and he got too hot and he got sick, kind of. So he ended up sitting out the rest of the game. And Monday night we went to the soccer game, and he was all excited about it. As we pulled out the driveway, he said, my tummy hurts. We were like, something's wrong. Anyway, we got to the soccer field, and we about had to drag him up the walkway. And we're like, come on, you're gonna play. And no, he's not playing. He started crying, and he didn't want to play. And we got him on the field and on the ball field, and he refused to go. And finally, I took him over to the dugout, and I was like, let's just pray about it, Bodie. Let's just pray. And you know, we should have done that to begin with, maybe. But you know, we sat down and we prayed, and he still kind of fussed about it. But he kind of settled down a little bit, and finally we went over and took him over there and sat down with him. And he wanted me to sit there with him on the side with his team, whatever. And he was like, "You sit here till I go in, then I'll go in." And I was like, "Okay." And after a minute or two, he was like, "You can go over there, Daddy. I'm okay." And so he ended up playing the rest of the game then, and it was fine. And as we walked out the gate, we had this little thing, I guess, going on at our house right now. If, if he's not to blame, he said, it's all on TJ. You know, if TJ did something, it's all on TJ. And so we were talking about, you know, he was being okay, and he was like, yep, I was okay. He said, it's all on Jesus. It was all on Jesus. And so, you know, as we think about it, you know, use those opportunities to let them rely on God. You know, oftentimes we try to fix things for our children. You know, we try to make it easy for them. But yet, God allows us to struggle with things. He's going to be there for us in the end. But God allows us to struggle with it. He let the children of Israel struggle with it. He could have had them cross the Jordan in a time when it wasn't flood season. But yet, He allows those things to happen to us so that we have to rely on Him. You know, there's going to come a time when we're not around for our children. And it's in those times that if we haven't built that up to them, if we haven't given them the training that they need, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know to rely on God. I like verse 8. It says, bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. And if you think about it, what's a good way to remember something? You know, back in the day, you write it on your hand, maybe. I know I've seen Jerry many a times with stuff written on his hand. Nowadays, if I want to remember something, I pull out my cell phone and take a picture of it. You know, they didn't even have a Bible like this when this was written. You know, the only thing that they had was maybe some scrolls. And I mean, this was early on, and so possibly not even that. So when God was telling them these things, it was important that they write these things down. You know, that they write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates, when you see them. It's important that we see the Lord's Prayer in church and in your house. It's important to see verses, reminders, little monuments that maybe we take for granted, but yet when times come, we think of those things. I think of monuments, they bring awareness to what God has done for us and bring awareness to God. You know, it says, verse 24 of Joshua 4 says, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. God used this as a way not only to help the Israelites, you know, trust in Him, but He also used it as a way to spread what God is doing, what God can do for us. Psalms 145 talks about, you know, telling it to your children. Verse 4 through 7, it says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. You know, the people pass it on from generation to generation, the things that the Lord did for them. And it's important that we teach the next generation the things that have happened, the mighty works that God has done in our lives, that we speak of them. You know, oftentimes you hear stories about the Indians, how the Indians would relate stories of great buffalo hunts or whatever it was to their children and pass it on from generation to generation. And it seems like we've kind of lost that desire to pass things on. It seems like in this age of knowledge, you know, when I was growing up, if you wanted to know something, you had to look at an encyclopedia, and the encyclopedia might be, you know, 10 years old, and so you might be getting accurate information back then. But today we have a cell phone. We pull out a cell phone, and in 2 minutes we can be on Wikipedia, and we can find out, you know, who won gold in the 2016 Olympics, and it happened, you know, 2 days ago. Whatever it is. So we don't feel the need to train our children, to teach our children, and to share these, keep passing these things on. Just a couple of verses yet. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, teach a child how they should go. Teach them what they should do. You know, as I think about these monuments, that what are we doing as monuments, my mind went back to when I was a little kid, probably 12 or 13 years old, and I went hunting with Bernie and Jay. And I'm not sure if we were going in at night or in the morning or coming out at night. And I remember they had reflectors nailed to the tree to get through the woods. And so they would, you know, shine the flashlight and they see a reflector, and they would go to that reflector and they would shine the flashlight and there was another reflector. And, you know, that led the way out, you know. And, you know, what are we doing for, what kind of reflectors, what kind of monuments, what kind of examples are we leaving for our children that they can find their way out, they can find their way to Christ? What are we doing to lead them to Christ? As we think about, you know, I know we can't see the end thing, but yet we know what Christ is. We know maybe the plans and dreams that we have for our children, and what are we doing to lead them to that point? You know, we all have a picture of what we want our children to be, and you know, they're not going to be that unless we give them the tools, unless we teach them where to go and how to go this way. Ephesians 6, verse 4 is the last one. It says, "The fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So, you know, it's up to us to train them and to, you know, encourage them and to share Christ with them, but to leave these landmarks, these monuments for our children that, you know, maybe they ask, what does that mean? You know, why are we going to church on Wednesday night? Nobody else does. Or why are we going to church on Sunday? Or what is the feet washing? You know, things like that are examples and are opportunities that we have to teach our children. It's very important that we make the most of those. They're not with us for long. If you don't believe me, ask Marlins or Amos's or Elvin's or Junior's, Wesley's. In closing, I just want to encourage you all to stop and think about where you want your children to go and how are they going to get there unless you show them a way. I mean, you can take a little kid out and tell him, you know, go to Abbeville, and they don't know how to get there. You know, if you never teach your kid how to go to Abbeville, they're not going to know how to get there. But, you know, by riding with you and following you, they will know, and take the time to teach them. That's all I have. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for these words that we have to bring monuments before you, bring before our children, and to set things up to help us to be able to teach our children and to share with them the things that you have done for us. Dear God, I pray that we would leave monuments for our children, that we would lead them to you. Dear God, I just ask that you would just be with us today as we go from here. Pray that you would just bless each one as they go. Pray especially for Elvin's as they travel this afternoon. Dear God, I just ask that you would just be with us and keep us this week. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to have Jeremy play a song, and then you may consider yourself dismissed when it's over.